There's been a heaviness on my soul to make this message, and I want to warn you to prepare your heart for the things that I'm about to say, because it's not going to be easy to hear. Now, we've talked a whole lot about the things that are going on in the world that are showing that prophecy is being fulfilled daily. We've talked about how we see the lukewarm spirit of religion and the backslidden churches in our generation, and how I believe that we're seeing a further depth of falling away of the body of Christ that the Bible talks about. But I believe that we are now in a generation where the Almighty God is calling out. He's making a battle cry to the souls of the righteous, because we are in a generation where many have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof, and darkness is increasing on the earth. Now I want to ask you a question. How can you be the light of the world when the things that you do increase the darkness that is coming upon this earth? You see, when the Bible talks about all of these people in these last days who have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof, they go to church on Sunday and then they come back out into the world and they increase darkness through their lives. Jesus said something very interesting in the Bible. He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, yet you do not the things that I say?" We have a generation of lukewarm people who call themselves Christians, who claim to be bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, yet they do not exemplify the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you right now that we have to stop playing church and start being the church. Jesus said that we need to go out into the world and shine as lights among men. He never said that we should go to church. He said that we should be the church. I'm not telling you that you're wrong for going to a church organization, but when you go in there and it's just a vain, dead religion, it's a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones, how many times have you told people that you're going to pray for them and you never utter a word of prayer for them? I'm telling you that it's time to stop doing that. When somebody comes to you for prayer and you tell them that you're going to pray for them, stop right then and there and do it. I had a conversation with a man this week who had just spoken to a preacher and asked him for prayer because of some things that were going on in his life. And I said, "Hey man," I said, "before I get off the phone with you, I would like to pray right now." And I think that this guy was astonished that he had just got off the phone with a preacher, and the preacher told him that he was going to add him to the prayer list on Sunday. But I stopped and stood in the gap and went fervently into prayer for this man. And I cried out that the Lord would bring peace and comfort and healing and restoration to his home, for his family, for his life, because he needed it in this moment. I've noticed times in my life when I got into that lukewarm rut where I said, "Hey, I'm going to pray for you," and I never did it. Just like what Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, yet you do not the things that I say?" We're called to be instant, in season and out of season, to preach the gospel, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I'm not here to yell at you tonight. I'm not here to preach at you or to gain your clicks and likes. I'm here to tell you right now that this is a call for righteousness. This is a call for the men and women of God to come out of lukewarm religion, because iniquity is celebrated in our streets. We see the evil that's taken a foothold in our generation. We've talked about all of these things. A lot of people get mad when they see me talking about the things of the world. But do you not know that God said, "I have set watchmen on the wall to warn the people"? You need to understand what it means to be a watchman. If you are called to be a man or a woman of God, and you have the word of God written on the tables of your heart, as Jeremiah said, "It's like a fire that shut up in my bones and I cannot stay. His ministers are as a flame of fire." And we need to go out and warn the people, because when we see iniquity and sin celebrated in the streets with pride and abominations, where are the people of God that walk out into the streets to celebrate the name of Jesus Christ, to proclaim that this is not the territory of the enemy, but it is the territory of the living God? Where are God's people? This is a call to the souls of the righteous. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 7, that God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let me ask you something today. If you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, are you vexed in your soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked? If you can't see what's going on when you turn on your cell phone to a social media platform, when you turn on on your television and all they do is glorify sex and violence and filth and fornication and murder and profanity, and you bring it into your house, you turn it on and you entertain these demons for a while, you let these people put this filth in your house where you pray, where you read your Bible, where you worship the living God, you have the Lord's hedge of protection set around you, but in a moment you turn on your television and you walk out to the edge of the hedge of your protection and you slice it open and you invite the demons into your house. Where are the men and women of God in this hour that are vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, with the unlawful deeds of the people that go out into the streets and celebrate sin, filth, and iniquity? We go into a house on Sunday for an hour and we give a shout of praise, but I'm here to tell you today that this is not a call for a Sunday morning service. This is not a call for a feel-good song and a concert of a progressive, lukewarm, backslidden church service that makes you feel justified about your life, that doesn't crucify sin and deal aggressively with your sin. You go into these places where you draw nigh to the Lord Jesus with your mouth and you honor Him with your lips, but your hearts are far from Him because you don't rightly divide the word of truth for yourself. It's time for the men and women of God who go to these places of worship to tell the leaders that it's time for God's people to go out into the streets and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Instead of going into these places for an hour on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday night, we need to fill the streets with the people of God and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and be set as watchmen upon the wall and say that the Lord is coming back. We need to deal aggressively with our sin because we've heaped up these teachers that preach to itching ears. We want them to tell us what we want to hear so that we don't have to repent and turn from our sins. I see it every day. This is not about an altar call to make you come and feel good for a moment. It's not about a concert in a lukewarm church that makes you feel justified in this lifestyle of sin. This is a broken-hearted, down on your knees, fall on your face, cry out to God for salvation and righteousness, because it's time for the people to turn from this iniquity, to turn from this world and seek the Lord God with all your heart so that you would find Him. Do you not understand that God said, if you will seek Me with your whole heart, you will find Me? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In the book of Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 12, it says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to Me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. He's telling you that He's tired of you going up here to the altar and tearing your garment and trying to put on a show and act like you want to repent. He said, rend your heart, wring it out, get close to Me, seek Me with your whole heart, show Me that you want Me in your life. Turn from these things of iniquity that separate you from Me. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that in this hour there is a battle that rages for your mind. The enemy desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. The Bible says in the last days that knowledge will be increased and people will run to and fro. The time for being lukewarm has long since passed if we don't deal aggressively with this sin that separates us from God. Do you understand that the book of 1 John says there is a sin unto death and a sin not unto death? We are not perfect. We cannot live perfectly. The Bible says that the righteous man falls 7 times and rises up. That means when you fall into this unwilling sin, get up and go forward and sin no more. You can't live a lifestyle perfect aside from Christ. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. But if you turn back to that sin as the dog returns to its vomit, that is a premeditated, willing choice to walk back into that sin. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 says, for if we continue to sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What does that tell me? Everybody says that you cannot do this, you cannot do that. I'm here to tell you that you cannot earn your salvation. You cannot live a perfect life, but the Bible says that you should strive to enter in at that narrow gate. We're called to strive and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not that we're going to live a perfect life, but He wants to see the intentions of your heart is not to dwell in that sin. These preachers of this generation have lied to you, ladies. ladies and gentlemen. When they tell you that once you're saved, you're always saved and you can't lose your salvation, the Bible tells me that Jesus said, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father only. Jesus' desire for our lives is that we would take up our cross, deny ourselves daily, and follow him. Paul said, I die daily. What are we doing out here playing with sin? Do you realize that whenever you do this, not only will there not be any sacrifice made for those sins that you committed willingly after you've receive the knowledge of the truth, but he said, of how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy who hath done these things in spite of the Spirit of grace? Because you've trodden underfoot the Son of God, you've crucified Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, God knows your heart. He understands that we live in this world, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. But you can't run through this life and say, well, God understands that I have needs and that my flesh has desires, so he's going to just forgive me. If you think that God is not somehow going to keep his promise to judge those who live in iniquity, then what makes you think he's not going to keep his promise to send you to the kingdom of heaven? He is a just God. He is a merciful God, but he does not wink at ignorance. He knows your heart. If you choose to fall down, it's not really a fall, is it? You need to understand that in this generation, God is seeking fruit from the souls of the righteous. You have an opportunity here, ladies and gentlemen, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. It's time for you to rend your heart and no longer your garment. You need to stop the enemy at the gates and no longer allow him to dwell into your minds. The human mind is a wandering thing, ladies and gentlemen. I've been in prayer, praying about the most righteous and holy things and asking for forgiveness, and all of a sudden the most vile thought, the most evil perversion can run through my mind in a moment, because that, ladies and gentlemen, is how the heart works. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus said, it's not that which goeth into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of it. This defiles a man, because out of the heart proceeds evil. And Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins to give every man according to the fruit of his doings. What are we doing playing games with sin? We run with God on Sunday and we play with the devil for the rest of the week. The time for playing church is over. The time for cheap talk is over. It's time for the people of God to fill the streets, to shine as lights among men. We are no longer called to consider our own selves. Jesus said, no greater love hath a man than this, that he would lay down his own life for his friends. What do you think we're called to do here? To go to church, to get right with God, and then just only save ourselves? Jesus told Peter, he said, thou art Peter, and on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means you're called to go out into the world and be a beacon of light and a fisher of men. There are people in your lives right now. There are people around you in the world that are lost and dying and heading to the pit of hell, and the churches are refusing to teach you how to be a disciple, to go out and bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. What are we doing in this generation when we see a lost and dying world and we do nothing about it? We say, well, good luck to them. I'm going to church on Sunday and I'm going to get me some Jesus. Jesus said, I came not to save the righteous, but the sinner. What are we doing in this hour when we see these people on the way to the pit and we don't have the backbone to stand up and stand in the gap and pray for these people? We've got a lukewarm generation of people that says, well, I'll add you to my prayer list, when these people need prayer now. It's time to stand up right now. This is a battle cry for the souls of the righteous, for the men and women of God to wake up and come out of this vain religion, these dead places where there is no Holy Spirit, where there is no hope in Christ, because you've been deceived into thinking that somehow if you go put your money in a plate and you sing a few songs that you're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that that find it? What are you going to do when you find out that you were on the broad path the whole time and you don't have oil in your lamp? And Jesus comes back and he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. He's looking for fruit. We are saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man boast. But you will be judged according to your works, according to the things written in the Lamb's book of life. John spoke of these things. He said, I saw the Lamb's book was opened. The book of life was opened. And the dead, small and great, were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly, and I'm bringing with me each man's reward according as his works shall be. You need to understand that your works are not what saves you. It is your faith in Jesus Christ alone. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But make no mistakes. As James said, faith without works being alone is dead. You cannot just go into a building for an hour and flop some money in a plate and listen to a feel-good 3 points in a poem and sing a song and somehow inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are called to labor to enter into that rest. He said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So we should pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. What are we doing playing church, ladies and gentlemen? It's time for the men and women of God to stand up and pray that God would send us. We no longer need to have the mentality of, Lord, save me. We need to have the mentality of when we hear the Lord call out and say, who shall we send and who shall go for us? We need to be saying, here am I, Lord, send me. If you are a man or a woman of God and you claim the name of Jesus Christ over your life, if you claim the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross at Calvary over your life, you need to be careful what you consume. You need to be careful about what you allow into your eyes, into your ears, and into your heart. You need to guard your heart because all that flows from it are the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, men shall be held to account thereof on the day of judgment for every idle word that is spoken, for by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. You need to understand that you step into a battle from the day that you choose to claim the name of Jesus Christ over your life. From the moment you believe, your name goes on a list in the kingdom of darkness, and you become a target in that territory. And the devil desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. And the enemy doesn't sleep. He comes against you. That's why the Bible warns you to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Let your feet be shod with the gospel of peace and your loins be girt about with truth, and having the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you look up the definition of what a wile is, it is a plot or a scheme of evil that he has planned against you to destroy your life, because the Bible tells me that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The reason that I'm bringing you this message with an urgency, with a fervency, is because we see the signs all around us. We see darkness creeping in and closing in around us. We've talked about all of this iniquity. A lot of these church people, they get mad when they say, well, you focus too much on the world and not enough on Jesus. I'm telling you these things so that you could wake up and focus on Jesus. Wake up and understand that everything that Jesus said was going to happen before he returns is beginning to come to pass. It's a convergence. He said in Luke 21 and 28, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, lift your head and look up and know that your redemption draweth nigh. Do you understand that we are the fig tree generation? He said, you hypocrites, how is it that you can see the face of the sky and tell when it's going to rain, but you do not see the sign of my return? The reason that we are called as watchmen is because he said in Isaiah 58 and 1 to cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and warn the people, show them their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. We are that house. We've been grafted in through Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, he said the promise was made to Abraham's seed. seed. And he said, not as to seeds many, but as to seeds one. And that seed is Jesus Christ. There's no longer Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, barbarian nor Scythian, but Christ is all and in all. There's no respect of persons with God. We see these people in Israel who claim to be Jews but are not and do lie and are the synagogue of Satan. We see the people waking up to this. It's time to understand that you need to get your house and your heart in order for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the end of all things is at hand. We are that generation that I believe is going to see the beginning of sorrows. We see this rise. Elon Musk just came out and said that he's going to mass produce Neuralink chips to put into the minds of people. What do you think's going to happen in the forehead and in the right hand when the mark of the beast comes online? Stop being ignorant to Satan's devices. You need to wake up and pay attention to the fact that the beast system is rising. What are you going to do if you don't have faith? For all of you men and women out there that have been going to church for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, and you've been walking in this so-called faith, do you know that the Bible says that you need to be always ready to give answer to them who ask about the hope that's inside you? What's going to happen in a moment of despair? When everything in your life is falling apart, are they going to see the power of the Holy Spirit through your life? Are they going to see the fact that Jesus Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness? Are you going to be able to exemplify that strength of God, that power of God? Because Paul said, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God might abide upon me. The time is now. We need laborers into the harvest. It's time to come out of these buildings and go out here and invade the gates of hell to bring forth souls for the kingdom of God. We spend so much of our time chasing our dreams and goals and money that we fail to see that there are people all around us that are on the broad path to destruction. What do you think is going to happen when we stand before the kingdom of God on the day of judgment and we're ready to receive our reward for all of the things that we brought forth on this earth? As the Bible says, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And you see all of these people that God placed in your life in this moment, and they walk by and they say, hey, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you tell me that I had to follow the Lord and seek him with my whole heart? If you would have just told me, I wouldn't be going to this pit of hell. Why didn't you tell me? You know what the Bible says about that? It says, if the watchman sees the sword coming and he does not blow the trumpet and the people are taken in their transgression, the blood of those people will I require at the watchman's hand. Once you step into this battle, you have an obligation to be a fisher of men and a beacon of light in a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. He never called you to go into a room and hide your candle under a bushel. He said, go out. As he called unto the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. The Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands. Why are we going into these buildings made with hands and thinking that the Holy Spirit somehow dwells there? The Holy Spirit of the living God dwells in men. He said, know you not that you are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells, and the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I want to read to you here in Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 2. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Do you understand that God has called us to be disciples? He said, go out and preach the gospel to every living creature. Do you not understand that if you are a member of the body of Christ, you have a responsibility and a duty? It does not look the same as everybody else's calling. You need to seek the Lord's will for your life to see what it is that he has prepared for you. You can't just make a decision. Well, I'm going to go to seminary school and I'm going to be a preacher for a living. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they be sent? You can't be sent if you make a decision to go to school to learn how to be a preacher. It does not work that way. The Bible says that you have no need for a man to teach you anything, for the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. You need to understand that in this moment of your life, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you have an opportunity here to be sent forth as a laborer into the harvest. The Lord God Almighty is calling you today to come out of this lukewarm religion and stand boldly in a place of righteousness, to reprove evil, to wake the people up and to sound the trumpet, to cry aloud and spare not, to lift up your voice and tell these people, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The book of 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that sin rebuke before all, so that others may also fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. How are you going to have wisdom if you don't fear God? Because that is the beginning of wisdom. Understand this, that God has called you to a chosen generation, to a royal priesthood. As the Bible says in Isaiah, the Lord said, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. The Lord has a plan for your life. He created you for a purpose, but he also said that every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You need to search your heart today. You need to rend your heart, wring it out, cry out to the living God, get on your knees. The Bible says when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door and pray secretly so that God can bless you openly. That doesn't mean that you're not allowed to go out and pray for people in public, but he wants a living relationship with you. Go into your bedroom and shut the door and get on your knees and cry out to God and say, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, remove it from me. Remove every seed, every root of bitterness in my heart, every bit of unforgiveness, seen or unseen. Lord, help me to get closer to you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's time for you to understand that this is not a game we're playing. This is life and death serious. This is your soul we're talking about. The Bible says it is appointed unto all men to die once, and after this, the judgment. You do not want to be found wanting on that day. You need to understand something, that we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ, and no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. Do you understand that we do not walk in this sin? We do not desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible says that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another, and the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit after the flesh. So we should walk in the spirit so we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are called to set our minds and affections on things that are above, where Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. That means to be fleshly minded, to focus on things of the earth, and the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile against God. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're not seeing all of these things happen in the world so that you can just feel some type of way. The Lord God is showing you signs. He said there will be signs in the heavens and signs in the earth before the day of the Lord Jesus' return. And we are not children of the night, but we are children of the day, so that that day would not overtake us as a thief, as it says in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We see the falling away of the church. We see the division in the body of Christ. We go to these places that are supposed to be houses of prayer, but they've been turned into dens of thieves because they have the love of money and the lust of greed and all of these physical things that they can't understand, that the reason that they don't see a move of God in this generation is because they can't come together with one accord. You've got people out here that are longing for revival, that long to see a move of God, but they can't come together with one accord because they're too busy arguing over when they think the rapture's going to happen. Do you not understand that the Bible told us that people would be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? The Bible says, be not given to vain disputations over the word, and ask foolish questions about genealogies and all of these things which are unprofitable and vain. It's time for you to wake up and understand that we need to come together as one body, fitly join together, the members of the body of Christ. We can't tie those members of the body to sin. We need to mortify, therefore, our members that are on earth. It's not that God is calling you to be perfect. He's calling you to be separate. He sees in your heart if you struggle with this sin. He sees in your heart if you have a problem with the things that afflict your flesh. He knows that Satan desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. But as Jesus told Peter, he said, "Peter, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So when thou art converted, go and strengthen thy brethren." He's saying once you've allowed the word of God to judge you, then you will see clearly to judge righteous judgment. You'll be able to go and to help your brothers and your sisters not fall into that pit that you once were running after. The Bible says that the woman overcame the dragon by the word of her testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Do you not understand that all of you people out there that have been to hell and back and you have a testimony to share, if you hide that testimony, there are people that God is going to bring into your life. And if you don't share that testimony with them as a word of wisdom to show them, hey, I once too was running towards that same pit that you're running towards, and here's how I got out. Here's the one who came to me in my hour of trial, in my hour of affliction, and he pulled me from the horrible pit out of the miry clay. He established my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth so that others may hear and also fear the Lord. Understand that you've been through those things because, as the Bible says, you've been tried in the furnace of affliction. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, it says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." If you've been through this hell in your life, it's because the devil sees your value in the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ has prayed for you that your faith fail not. So when you get your house in order, when you become converted and you walk in the spirit of truth, go and strengthen your brethren. Go and help them to find their way out of the pit. You need to understand something. I'm not just some guy that's trying to sound crazy and yell at you and tell you all of these things because they carry no weight. I'm here to tell you these things because I am a soldier. I am a servant of the living God, and the Lord has delivered messages to me to deliver to you, and it is time for us to stand in the gap for the lost and the broken. The Bible says the Lord is near unto them who have a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You need to understand that I am a soldier. I don't back down. I don't back up. I wield the sword with efficiency and accuracy because we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. You need to be ready in your heart for the things that are coming upon this earth. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, your suffering will not be noble. The things that you endure will not be pleasurable. The Bible says that those who overcame love not their lives unto death. Make it settled in your heart for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I finished the course. I fought the good fight. Your labor is not in vain if you seek to save souls for the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that God is calling out to those who are vexed in their soul with the unlawful deeds of the wicked. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I want to read to you here in Psalms chapter 91, and I want you to understand what God has promised you in His Word. Starting in verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. These are promises from the living word of God. In verse 14, it says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you understand that the Lord is calling you today? Can you hear that call? Do you feel that pull at your heart? Do you feel that the Lord is drawing you closer to Him? Do you feel like you have a purpose in this life all of a sudden and you just can't put a finger on it? You can't sleep good at night because you feel like that there's something that you're supposed to be doing, but you can't quite figure out what it is. Do you feel like that you have a void in your soul and you just can't seem to fill it? You've spent your whole life trying to fill that void with drugs or alcohol or pornography or sex, fornication and filth and all of these things of the world that you just can't seem to be satisfied. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, the righteous, came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He said, all who are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me and I will give you rest. He said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. He said, I'm lowly and meek of heart. Come and learn of me. He wants you to come to him as your father because he is, and he loves you more than anybody will ever love you for your whole life. You need to quit paying attention to all of this noise. You need to get alone with God. Study his word, and if you don't understand, pray for understanding. Ask the Lord before you read a word of this book. Ask him to give you understanding of this word. Ask him to help you to write these scriptures on the tables of your heart because you have a calling for the Lord God Almighty. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, or what kind of iniquity you've walked in. When the day comes that you decide to give your life to Jesus Christ, to repent for your sins and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, that he came in the flesh, died on the cross, and rose on the third day, and you believe in your heart that these things are true and that he paid for your sins on the cross, you are forgiven. No longer can the enemy bring up your past against you, because from that moment forward, it is written. Your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life, and you are forever sealed with the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. But God is not slack concerning his promise. You need to understand that the Bible says if you forsake God, he will forsake you. A lot of people have asked, well, I've got right with God and I turned away and I fell short and I'm back in the world. Is there any way that I can be forgiven? Absolutely. It's never too late to turn back to the Lord and repent for those sins. Seek him with your whole heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all these things unto you. The Bible says that he will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten. But it is the willing sin that will separate us from God. A lot of people try to play games and somehow act like, well, I'm sealed to the promised day of redemption and I don't have to worry about none of this stuff. They're playing dangerous games because Jesus said, if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You cannot use that blood of Jesus Christ like a credit card and go out and sin willfully and think that you are going to somehow inherit his kingdom while you've crucified Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. You need to understand that Jesus hung on a cross and died for our sins. He hung on that cross and he was beaten unrecognizable. They put a bag over his head when he was sent to Herod's court and they punched him in the face over and over and they took turns saying, prophesy to us and tell us which one of us it is that punches you in the face. face. They spit on him. They mocked him. They scourged him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They drove nails in his hands and in his feet until he hung on the cross and cried out to the Lord and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's cried these things out because he loves us so much. And he did these things for you and me that we wouldn't walk in sin anymore, but that we would turn to righteousness, that we would repent for these sins and turn away from these things because he loves you that much. And it's time for the men and women of God to understand this, that we can't keep playing church. We can't keep standing in this iniquity and somehow thinking that we're going to get into the gates of heaven, because the time for being lukewarm has long since passed. He loves you so much that he died on that cross, and he's got such a heart that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He even though he hung on the cross, after all that he endured, he knew that they didn't even realize what they were doing to him. And he's still saying that today, because he took my place on the cross and he took your place on the cross. And it's time for you to wake up and understand that this is not a game. This is about eternity. This is about salvation. So when you are converted, you need to go and strengthen your brothers and sisters, because this is the hour that we were born for. We were born for a time such as this. It's time to get out of that lukewarm spirit of religion and go bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a minute to pray for you. I want to take a minute to help you to understand that this is a battle that we wage against the enemy, the battle that wages for the souls of men and women that dwell on this earth. And it is no laughing matter. It is not a joke. It's not a lukewarm church service. This is a serious thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You can't just go and get dipped in the water and join the members of the church and say, well, that's it. I can go live how I want to now. The Bible says you must be transformed by the renewal of your mind in Christ. You must be born again. You must turn from these things. As Jesus told the woman taken in iniquity and adultery, he said, go and sin no more. People try to twist this doctrine, and the devil tries to send these tares amongst the wheat and these wolves in sheep's clothing and these false prophets that have gone out into the world to deceive many, to tell you that it doesn't matter how much you sin, Jesus is just going to keep paying for it. You need to wake up and understand that we have to strive to enter in at that narrow gate, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, and broad is the path to destruction. It's not an easy thing to inherit the kingdom of God. We must labor to enter into that rest. So I want to go into prayer for you right now, that you would receive understanding. And for those of you who are out there that are not sure about your salvation, that you maybe you once you got close to Jesus and you turned from him, he's calling out to you today. He's crying out for you to become one of those people who will suit up with armor, with the whole armor of God, so that you would help us to labor in the harvest, to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God and stand against this darkness. So, Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus to thank you for this opportunity to study your word, to bring forth this message to the people who would have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. I pray right now that you'd fill them and anoint them with your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would cover them with your holy protection and your righteousness, that they would be sent forth with us as laborers into the harvest, into this hour, that we would be rooted in the foundation of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, Father. I pray that you would open the hearts and the minds of all those out there who could hear this message and help them to understand that this is a serious thing that we're talking about here. Father, we cry out for righteousness in this generation. We cry out for the people of God to come out and stand against this darkness, Lord. Help us to put on your whole armor so that we may go forth into the gates of hell to bring forth souls for your kingdom, Father. I pray that you would give us a touch of heaven in this hour, Lord. We pray that you would pour out your spirit upon all of our flesh, Lord, that we may be able to go forth and help those who need it, Father. Let us love not our lives unto death, Lord. Strengthen us in this hour and help us to see your truth in your word, Lord. We pray that you would give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding, strengthen our faith, Give us patience, Lord, so that we may be found perfect and entire, wanting nothing, because we know that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Father, we exalt the name of Jesus above everything in our lives. We exalt the name of Jesus above everything in this world, Father, because there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior and our deliverer, our shield and our fortress, in whom we trust. Lord, we come into agreement with your word, and we rebuke, bind, break, and cast out every spirit of witchcraft and every demon out of our lives. And the only spirit that is welcome in our lives is your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you today for this opportunity to receive understanding and edification, Father. And we say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God, who is and was and is to come. And we give you the glory, Father. We pray for the lost. We pray for the afflicted, for the homeless, for those out there who endure trial. We know that your word says that if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer, and if one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And we pray that you would let us take our portion in this labor, in this hour, Father. We give you the glory today. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and we love you. Amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I know this is kind of a heavy message, but I'm telling you that I have this heaviness on my spirit to bring you this message with urgency, to prepare your house and to prepare your heart. We see the wars and the rumors of wars. There's nothing to be afraid of, no matter what may come, for us to live as Christ and to die as gain. We must be ready in this hour. Get oil in your lamp. That means that you resist the devil so that he would flee from you. If you want to draw nigh to the Lord when you see temptation come, you resist that temptation. You crucify the flesh. Even though your flesh wants to walk in this sin, you stop the enemy at the gates. You cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself to God, and you take every thought captive and bring it into subjection to Jesus Christ. And you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Every time you see sin and iniquity and temptation coming for your life, you cry out and you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. It is written, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not welcome here. It's time for us to walk in righteousness. It's time for us to stand bold in our faith, to be steadfast and unmovable in our faith in this hour. I want to give a special thanks to everybody who's taken the time to make comments on this podcast, to send messages, to send support for everything that we're doing here. I am extremely grateful. Very soon, I'm going to be announcing the details of the House of Prayer project that is going to shake the foundations of hell. I want you to be ready in this moment, because what the Lord is about to do here through my life is going to bring many to righteousness, and it is going to edify the bodies and the souls of the saints of Jesus Christ. If you haven't got a chance yet, ladies and gentlemen, go check out our website. It is the Tyler Wood Encounter. It is www.tylerwoodencounter.com. We have these t-shirts on there for sale. I know I sound like a broken record when you hear me say this, but we have new subscribers every week. I wanted to create these t-shirts with Bible scriptures on them, with statements that bring glory to God, so that you would be able to walk boldly in your faith. There are people out there that may never pick up a Bible, but if they're standing behind you in line at the grocery store and they get to read the living word of God on your t-shirt, then glory to God, because it may be a witness to those people that you would walk in boldness. Thank you to everybody out there that's purchased these shirts. It helps what we do here at the Tyler Wood Encounter. I thank you with all my heart for being a part of what we're doing here. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of what God is going to do here, that I believe is going to spark revival in this nation. It's time to wake up and come out of lukewarm religion and get into the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, the living God. Guys, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I ask that you would pray for me. Stand in the gap for me. I get attacked on the regular from the enemy. I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Tyler Wood Encounter. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. I love y'all. God bless y'all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world.